So Alpha, who has cash here?
I do.
I don't.
Old cash or new cash?
New cash. I'm not on able to
live. Are you holding it?
Of course.
I'm a Nigerian.
Cash I have with me right now.
Yes.
Do you have new notes? This guy, a rich man.
I'm not playing anybody. So what happened was, last week, Friday, Abby came to the office and we drew like 3K.
Where did you see to withdraw?
No, we drew 3K for old notes.
Okay.
So as I and Bolu were now going, you know, I saw this POS guy that was the first person that I saw that was doing the whole parallel market for new notes.
How much did you pay for 5K?
So we did, I think, 400 or 500 naira for 13K, which was an absolute steal by the next day.
Wow.
That was 500.
Cheap. Yeah.
It was ridiculously cheap. Like,
now I'm hearing they're doing 10%.
Exactly. Bolu was about to balk and say, nah, let's
you guys be doing. I said,
no,
don't
try it. You say, what?
You're alive.
Right. So now we've been talking about, I'll be very, very honest with you guys, right? This this period is a very, very testing period. Like,
for Nigerians.
I am not happy. I am not happy. So, but I'm not going to leave everything. I'm just going to leave everything for God.
To judge everything.
And
to
I just judge. That God will take control.
No, that's... But, okay, so if you're not in Nigeria, just for context, the CBN, Nigeria's apex bank, has redesigned the Naira and told everybody to go cashless. But here's the problem. You can't find the new Naira notes and all my bank apps.
Yes.
Sorry about that. All my bank apps are not working right now.
I couldn't use UBA yesterday, so I had to resort to using SMS banking.
SMS is even working. This morning, USSD is not working. Mobile apps are not working. And I can't withdraw cash. I saw queues in ATMs this morning. But it's fine.
I didn't imagine a day where there will be a parallel market for
Naira gaining against the Naira. It's fine. So yeah, what are we talking about today? We're talking about Kenya's employment laws. We're talking about licenses and the technician visa. Those are really, really interesting stories to talk about. So yeah, number one, what's going on with Kenya's employment laws? I'm hearing something about a right to quit, a right to disconnect. Is that? Am I on the?
Yeah. So the employment, is an amendment to the Employment Act that allows employees in Kenya to be able to disconnect from work when it is after work hours. Right. If the bill is passed, then you don't, as an employee, you don't have to reply to any text messages, to any emails, to any assignments after working hours.
So work-life balance.
Except you are doing overtime. But so they are trying to promote work-life balance. And it's interesting that it's receiving backlash.
Why? Why is it receiving backlash?
So these people that are against it say it's going to encourage complacency or is going to make employees not to be serious with their work. They're probably not going to work throughout the day, and when it's after work hours, you can't reach them again. Right? I'm now thinking in my head, is that not supposed to be the normal thing? Why should my boss call me after work hours?
So I think I understand that anybody who push back on that.
Okay, why would they push back?
First of all, there's capitalism, but first of all, I think it's the Association of Employers or Kenyan Employers that they are the ones spearheading the pushback. And their reason is very simple. You cannot be telling us what to do in our businesses. Doesn't make a lot of sense. You're already regulating the macro environment in which we work in. Why do you want to regulate what we do with our employees and all of that? It's not like everybody or a lot of people are having their employees work too long after work hours. So why are you trying to legislate on that?
Then why are they defending? Because there are workplaces that
like
are
you pointed
toxic
out,
that's true. Much.
But you pointed out something. What happens if I get to work and I do not work? I do not do any serious work. The moment is 5 p.m., I just go home or 4 or 6
Classic
or whatever.
Government job.
No, you get fired then.
Yeah, okay, so that's the problem.
Get queried.
Right. You know what?
You get queried, you get
How many
fired.
Queries you want to be handing out?
Oh, three like queries now. And you get fired. Simple.
Okay. Then you also have to imagine that sometimes you just have to work beyond the stipulated time.
So, know what it's, I think?
They're not saying you should not work beyond.
There should be overtime provisions, right? Yeah. When your employer knows that if I make you work overtime, I pay you for it, I compensate you for it, then they will take it serious. So, it's not even about this being part, because sometimes when we don't do what we're supposed to do for ourselves, the law makes us do it, right? But it's not about this bill getting passed. It's about every workplace having a good work culture. I've had conversations with HR personnel, and what they say is that it doesn't even matter what is inside the employment contract, right? Whatever it is you want to engender in your workplace, you give your employees a good working environment so that they will empathize with you when you need them to do overtime, for instance, unpaid overtime, for instance, or when you need them to work after work hours.
Okay. So even if my employees empathize with me and they decide to work unpaid, like they're okay with working unpaid overtime, does this bill have provisions for that? Or will I be fined? Because here's the truth. One of the reasons a lot of businesses do not pay it is it's just not, it doesn't make financial sense for them. There are some businesses, of course, that are just assholes. But a lot of them can't just afford. If they have to pay overtime, for example, it would be a lot of money.
Okay, it's not as if this bill we owed people from doing what they're supposed to do. It's just going to be available in case if my employer is making me work overtime or disturbing me after work hours, I can sue. So it's not as if you decide to do an unpaid overtime work, you'll be sued or you'll be sanctioned for it. No, it's just giving the provision to the employees to fight for their rights if it's infringed upon.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I'm guessing all I can say here is I think it's in the best interest of employers that your employees are able to disconnect from work. I think it's improved their productivity. If they are having series of overtime, they get burnt out. And the reality is most companies don't care when their employees get burnt out. You just have to figure it out yourself, how to get out of that burnout or go and look for another job. So, yeah, let's leave that alone and let's come back to Nigeria, the CBN's Afrigo card, Afrigo. So, Chinozem, I want you to give me the lowdown of everything we need to know about Afrigo, the CBN's domestic card scheme.
Okay. So Afrigo is the CBN's domestic card scheme. And for context, it's the first domestic card scheme in Africa. So we have examples from countries like Japan, China, India. So those are the usual people. And I think Brazil also has one. But Afrigo is the first in Africa. So basically, it's just an alternative to your MasterCard, your Verve or Visa cards. And the CBN has a few reasons. One, which is still shaky, they said it will drive financial inclusion. The other one is that the cost of the operating cost of cards are going to be reduced. So for every single time you issue the card or you make a transaction on your card, your bank has to pay the card scheme. So a card scheme is like they provide infrastructure. So let's just say they provide a workspace for banks, financial institutions, anybody at all to like provide cards. So if you decide to pay for food at any eatery, your bank has to pay Verve, MasterCard, Visa for that transaction. So there are a list of charges, I think up to 6 or 7 or so that they have to pay either every single time a transaction is made or once. So the thing is, all of these charges are paid in dollars because we have Visa and MasterCard. They are the major ones. I don't know if anybody has a Verve card.
I do.
So you do.
My banks have never given me anything else apart from Verve card.
Okay, but those are like the two major ones that Nigerians use. So most of these charges are paid in dollars. And you know our woes with Forex. So they are just basically using scarce dollars to pay for this. So the CBN is saying, oh, now your operating cost will be in Naira naturally, so you do not have to pay for all of this. When will it come into play? Not yet. So the CBN said they will have, like, they will announce a cutoff date. So after that, every other person has to reroute local payments, not international payments, local payments through the card scheme itself. So they're working with NIBS to do this. And from... Okay, what happens to Verve and Visa? Yes, they will still operate. So Verve is kind of a local card, not entirely local, but it's local. Verve, Visa and MasterCard will continue working. But what will now happen is that they either have to route their local transactions through the CBN's card scheme, or you just have to leave. It's one or the other. And so CBN has made it clear that they are not competing with them. But
they are not competing with you, but we are going to kill you.
Well, not really kill you. They are now just telling you that, oh, you now have to route these transactions. Or if you do not want to do it, then collect your charges in dollars, in Naira, which obviously doesn't make a lot of sense for these businesses. So that's those are like some of the questions I guess people would have. Yeah.
All right, so you can check out the full article on TechPoint, all you need to know about AfriGold, CBN's domestic card scheme. So if you have any questions, they will be getting answers there. And if you still have questions, please disturb Chingu's room. That's what he's here for. So, but anytime I think about Jakba, and anytime I think about the CBN, for instance, if I actually want to list one of the reasons I might want to leave this country, the CBN is very, very high on that list. And last year, a lot of guys that I know left the country with very, very, very interesting visa. So last year we saw things like the digital nomad visa, because a lot of people are working remotely. Countries are now trying to attract them so that they will come and spend money in their country and pay taxes in their country. And we're now seeing work visas like technician, global talent, and all of that. So we're hearing that technician visa is shutting down. Now, can you give us what is happening exactly, and should our Jakba hopes... Wait, I'm not Jakba, you know.
Okay. Never see. Earlier in the week, Tech Nation announced that it's shutting down. And this will happen on the 31st of March this year. And Tech Nation is a non-profit organization in the UK, backed by the UK government. And they have a number of initiatives they power, including technician visa. So this is how it works. There's a visa program in UK called Global Talent Visa. And before you can, it's for foreigners, for migrants that want to enter the UK and work. And they have different sectors that they power, including tech. So for people that want to take advantage of that work visa through tech, they have to be endorsed by Tech Nation. So apparently, if Tech Nation shuts down now, it means anybody that wants to, any foreigner that wants to apply for the work, for the global talent visa in the tech sector, right, might not be able to do that. He gets so. In the meantime, since they are going to shut down by March 31st, people can still register and still keep shooting their shots, and hopefully they get in. But what I'm not clear about, right, is there is a clause in the Global Talent Visa. You can renew it after 5 years before it expires, but the criteria is that your endorsement body has to still be working. Endorsement still remains.
Oh dear.
So the hope is that, right, by 31st or after 31st, Tech Nation will get, the tech endorsement or Tech Nation will get another backer, we get another person funding it so that it can keep endorsing people for the tech sector in UK, right? And for the past 10 years, Tech Nation has been doing a lot of things in the UK, and it claims to provide, to be responsible for 90% of tech jobs in the UK. Right, and if you look at the comments online, it's like people are sad, they're like worried.
Startups like Revolut and like big European startups have gone through Tech Nation's program. So yeah, that's a really, really interesting
and Tech Nation has a number, host of other initiatives they do. They have sandboxes, they have accelerators that they power. So it is a whole lot of, in a way, I think it will put a dent on UK's embracing.
They're just paying lip service
to. Let's find out how much they need to be funded.
So that what?
That you can fund them.
Fish money. If you have money to fund technician, won't you go and start startup?
Well, I may start a startup.
Or won't you fund the fintech and collect returns?
Think about it. I don't know, but if I also do this, I can also get to fund people as well.
You can just go and fund one guy that has an interesting idea for a loan app. I mean, chasing people up and down for loans.
I think we should do this technician.
We should do technician. Why?
Anyways, we have alternatives.
You have better
alternatives.
There are alternatives.
Yes, okay, so you can check the website for alternatives to global talent visa for the tech for tech talent in Africa.
All right. Those of us are not tech talent. Any hope for us?
Are you not a tech talent? Yeah. You work in the tech, digital technology
space.
I'm not
a tech bro, please. I don't have the money of a tech bro. But yeah, I mentioned loan apps just now, right? Loan apps in Kenya have been getting fire since 2019. Like, since I started actively covering tech space, I've been seeing Kenya chasing digital lenders. And I'm hearing something that happened to them again. But come to think of it, like, if you want to invest in a fintech, lending is not a very, very interesting.
I think it is. So in Nigeria, 2% of, just 2% have access to credit. It's, if you go across Africa, it's either between 2% and 10%. So that means you have like 90% of the population, or let's say 70% of the population who need credit and will be willing to take on credit. And credit is like a huge boost to the economy. So if I get money to run my business, imagine if I'm a tailor, for example, is it that I save 100,000 naira for as long as it takes to get an electric machine?
Those are kind of macro. Me, I'm talking about the investor returns, like,
yeah, I that's the money back. So it's, of course, you make your money back, because this is the macro environment that determines whether you can make your money. So do you have like a lot of people who need these services?
And
you technically have at least 70% of the population in each of these countries. So yes.
what's the gist from Kenya right now?
So two. First is that earlier in the week, the Central Bank of Kenya announced 12 additional digital lenders. So last year, I think they said that now you just can't lend in Kenya if you do not have a license. So between March 2022 and I think now, they've had like 381 applications for digital lenders, and you apply, you get your license, and then you can now start. So currently they are just 22. They approved 12. They did 10 in September. So right now you have 22. But the problem with that is a lot of people are complaining that the process is very slow and it's taking forever for them to get the license.
Yeah,
so
that, I think that's par for the course in Kenya. Fintech licenses are very hard to get. Payments licenses, banking, very, very hard. Take very, very long.
Yeah, so it's taking a long time for people to get their licenses, and for the thing is that some of the biggest lenders in Kenya do not have their licenses yet. They've not gotten it, and
that's why they are doing any.
No, like they've not received it from the CBK, so it's not like it's their fault.
Okay, they have applied.
Yeah, they have, but they've not received it. So curiously, the CBK is also saying, some of you that are making noise have not completed the application. So what are you saying? Now, we don't know the number of people who have not completed this application, but they said submit your applications, complete it, and then so that you can fast track it. They're also working with like other people, other agencies of the government to do that. So the second part of that is that starting yesterday, that's February 1st, if you own a loan app operating in Kenya and you're not licensed, you cannot be on the Google Play Store. You'll be kicked out. So basically, that means if you check loan apps in Kenya, they shouldn't be more than 22. And of course, you know the reason. Predatory lending apps have been on the rise across Africa. So it's not just Nigeria. It's everywhere that fintech has tried to like make a little headway, the predatory lending apps have gone alongside. So they are trying to like control the space, because the truth is, if you do not get lend, if you allow predatory lending to like become the norm, it erodes customer trust, one, but it also affects people. So people could start killing themselves. And we've seen it with gambling companies. So basically from yesterday, lending apps in Kenya who are not licensed, and yes, Nigeria. So if you're a Nigerian, you shall know yourself. If you're a Nigerian lending startup, well, you will also, because it's not just Nigeria, it's an update to your privacy policy. So
Google Play Store.
Yeah, on the Google Play Store. Okay. So you will not. Let's wait for Apple to see if they will do something similar.
Apple. All right, that's fine. So yeah, this has been an interesting one, and I hope you enjoyed this discussion.
Yes, we have something that we forgot. The first unicorn of the year.
First unicorn of the year. Are they really African?
Well, they are African. We'll discuss whether Egypt is African.
No. There's a reason why I wasn't too excited about it, because when I get news from MENA, I'm always 50-50.
Like, so this is Egypt, unlike the others.
Cross the Red Sea, or are they after the Red Sea? Or
they're they're within the Red Sea. So unlike the others who are UAE-based and expanding into Egypt, these ones are Egypt-based and they want to start expanding. So
UAE.
Yeah, so MNT Haaland is the first unicorn coming out of Africa in 2023, which is good news, because all through last year, I think we probably had maybe just Flutterwave or so.
There was no unicorn in 2022.
So there was no unicorn last year. They completed a mega deal, which is hopefully should set the pace for 2023, because
it's almost 2 years since Flutterwave became a unicorn. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so they're not just becoming a unicorn, they also had like close a mega deal, which we probably know that they either started last year, or so either they closed it last year or started the process last year.
$400 million, right?
Yeah, $400 million. So it's not like $400 million in equity. So there's $200 million in equity from from Chimera Investments. So it's a UAE based firm. There's another $60 million that they are trying to raise. Then there's $140 million, which is securitized bond issuance. So $100 million for one of their subsidiaries, Tassa Hill, and then another $40 million for a second subsidiary. So
So the full breakdown is in your article, right?
Yes,
the full breakdown of all the funds is in your article. So this and other stories you'll find on the FinTech Today newsletter. It's coming twice a week to your inbox on Tuesdays, right?
Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you get a newsletter today. So.
Okay, so we'll be putting the link in the description to subscribe to the FinTech Today newsletter.
Subscribe.
So a lot of things are happening. Wait, this is a FinTech company too, right?
Yeah, it is. Good. FinTech,
obviously.
Well, they call themselves FinTech ecosystem. FinTech e-commerce, they have an e-commerce part.
So. FinTech unicorn has come up again after Flutterwave and Chipacash. Chipacash is a unicorn too, right?
Yeah.
Good. So after Flutterwave, Chipacash.
OPE. Wave.
Is OPE really? Okay. OPE. All right, OPE. Then, yeah, we're also expecting a unicorn from Nigeria too.
Yes, a media unicorn, is there?
Media?
Yes.
Are you joking? are you whining me,
no,
please?
No. Speak it into existence.
All right.
Get what
Professor
you said.
Ida, a media unicorn will come into existence.
Tech Point Africa.
We'll become a unicorn in 2023. But
yes,
that's not what we are focusing on right now. We have another newsletter called The Workaholic. So everything you want to learn about the tech nation and alternatives and HR wahalas, Nifemi has got your back. Like last Wednesday episode, she singled out HR people and said they are the victims of the current layoffs. How? Anyway, check out the newsletter to find out. But I still don't agree with her. But yeah, creative freedom. Yeah, that's one of the perks of working with Tech Point. Yeah, but I still don't agree. Then, of course, subscribe to our flagship newsletter, Tech Point Digest. Victoria from Tech Point is doing a really great job. And don't forget to subscribe to Tech Point Africa podcast, wherever you're listening to it, on YouTube, so on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Hyatt Radio, anywhere you get your podcast. And if you're watching this, please subscribe, like, and do all the needful so that more people will get interested and inspired by technology.
Yay!
What was that?
I'm fired up.
You feel that, man? You feel it?
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.